You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
On this week's episode, we have Carnell, Banny, Steve, and me, Mike. We sat down to try two beers from California that Banny and Carnell brought back from a recent trip. Both of them are hazy IPAs, one of them from Monkish and one from Green Cheek. If you know California beer, you know they make amazing beers, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Before we get started, here is a word from the Hopped Up Network.
If you are looking for more beer podcasts just like the one you're listening to right now, then head on over to hoppedupnetwork.com. We are a podcast network focused on our local craft beer communities. Here's a quick example of one of the many podcasts you will find.
On the Pints and Provisions podcast, we discuss the ins and outs of beer, brewing, and breweries, in addition to all those crafts that pair well with beer, such as bourbon, coffee, food, and cooking. Join Evan, Ryan, Mark, and Dan on each episode where we discuss those crafts we love to imbibe. Here's a clip.
I've got four full glasses over here. I need to figure out my glass situation before I pour this.
You're the one asking for more. Your own glasses.
Yeah, he was the one next? That said, "What's next?"
Well, there's a bunch sitting out. I thought we were going to get those going, but
we are proud members of the Hopped Up Network, where you can find all our episodes and also look for us on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean.com, as well as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Cheers.
So we did a recent trip to California, and we went to Monkish Brewing, which is one of my favorite breweries in California, and we brought back Foggy Ear Window, which is one of my favorite beers. So we're talking Southern California, hazy IPAs, because that's kind of what their beer scene is. Like, I don't really know what else to say about that. So this is Monkish Foggy Ear Window.
Okay, perfect. Some of this.
Foggy Ear Window is supposed to be one of their better ones, too. We got lucky that day.
They were doing limited growler fills.
Yeah, we didn't know. We just showed up, ordered what they had.
So if you haven't been to California to go to one of their breweries, like one of their popular breweries like Monkish, this sort of beer sells out really quickly. So they'll do limited growler fills, very small amount of cans to be released, and huge lineups to get this stuff. So we were lucky. We just happened to be there coming in from the airport. It's only about 15 minutes away from the airport. And they had released a small amount of Foggy Ear Window. So we got a growler fill. Lucky us.
That's really exciting because, yeah, I hear all about... You can go there and you can get their sours, but you never get their IPAs.
You don't get their IPAs.
You usually sit and grab a couple of their IPAs, but to take them home with you is, yeah, it's tough.
Like, you can drink it on tap, but yeah. It's not, yeah, you're not going to get anything to come home with.
Well, I mean, this looks like orange juice out of the fridge.
I was going to say, this looks like straight up orange juice.
And this is mostly, like, if you look at Monkish beers, I don't see any that look any different than this. They all look pretty much the same. When they give me a flight of glasses, I'm like, which one was which again? They look exactly the same, but with different flavors. So yeah, it smells like orange juice and tastes like orange juice.
It smells like orange juice.
Yeah, it's mostly orange juice. A lot of them are very tropical. This isn't even all that tropical.
No, this one's
It's really got kind of sort of a mango-y flavor in there too, but
yeah, mm-hmm. It's orange and mango.
Yeah, with hops.
There's definitely...
Like, there's hops in here?
There's definitely some like herbal notes in there from the hops.
Yeah, it's kind of
fun. Because there's tons of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the aroma is just like, and it's what I always have in this conversation, like when I compare the two spots, like Vancouver to California. It's like, I think our beer stands up to their beer if you put our best on best. But like, we've never had a bad beer at Monkish.
No.
Like you don't, it's like a place like you just go into and you just don't have a bad beer.
Yeah.
And that's friggin' rare.
But I mean, it is a very large state, more people than Canada, and there is a stupid amount of breweries there. So at this point, if you don't make a good beer, you're going to be closed.
Well, and that's, I think that's the difference in the scene, right? It's way more competitive.
Yeah.
Like, And I keep hearing these things online, people saying things like, oh, you know, like, we're about to hit peak beer, we're about to have, what's it called, breweries closed down. And I will admit, like, we're not where we were 3 years ago, where you could open up shop and expect to sell your whole batch, you know, within a few days, like, you'd be in business. It's not like that anymore. You do need to be put out decent beer. We've seen a couple spots go down, and it sounds like there's a couple places in danger of going down the next little bit. But that's not anything compared to California right now, or anywhere in the States. Well, not anywhere, but in a lot of beer loving places in the States, like, it's getting competitive. It's hard to get an edge, and you better be making decent beer.
Yeah. Well, from my understanding, there's good breweries in San Diego that are shutting down. Yeah. Not bad breweries, good breweries.
Yeah.
But they can't keep up in the market right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, Green Flash just shut down. There's mixed opinions on what
Green Flash had to produce. Sell off all of their assets except for their California assets, and those assets were sold to a new company. But they're still running, still making beer. They just got a brand new shipment into BC. Mm-hmm. So BC is still a market they're selling to for whatever reason.
Interesting.
There's very few states left. There's like something like 16 states they're still going to sell in.
Okay. But they had tried to go fully national.
They overextended. They started too late. They should have done it at least 2 years before.
Yeah.
And they screwed themselves big time.
It was a white husband and wife team that started them up. And God, can you imagine seeing that empire crumble, like, stand through your fingers?
Well, I mean, even breweries like Stone that have expanded they're going to be fine. But even they're laying off people because they can't handle the lack of growth right now. They've been dealing with this massive growth, and suddenly the growth is either like 1% or 0%.
Yeah.
And when you're hiring like crazy, and then suddenly that growth isn't there.
Yeah, and that's the other
thing. You've got to do something.
I mean, I'm no businessman, but like, man, if I'm making enough money to live a good life, and I'm making and selling beer, I don't give a shit about growth. Like, as long as I can just do those two things.
Yeah.
But that's not how the business world works, evidently.
That's fine as long as you stay a small, local brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite nano, because nano is really hard to survive.
Yeah.
But just above nano, where you can sell most of your beer out the door and a little bit in package. Maybe can releases like all the crazy beers these days. But when you try to go regional, it is really dangerous, because you have to expand and expand and keep making more beer to keep up with demand. But you can overextend so easily, and you could be selling all your beer and still not make enough money to pay the creditors.
Which is nuts. But I mean, it's...
And that's what happened to Green
Flash. It's a hard go. It's just crazy that, I mean, like, the beer is so good. And as you say, people are going out of business.
Yeah.
And that's why I think our scenes, like, when I hear people in BC say, you know, they're waiting for the crash. The crash is around the corner. Like, I think things are going to settle out.
Yeah.
But I don't see us heading for a crash, because bad beer still makes it to the shelf. Yeah.
Well,
and there's still demand for beer, period.
The crash hasn't happened in the States yet.
No.
And it's going to happen there way before it happens here, if it happens at all.
That's right.
Yeah. So if we see a true crash in the States, watch it to happen a couple years later here.
Yeah.
But I don't see it happening. I think it's just going to be a big correction.
That's right.
Breweries that overextend themselves are doomed right now. Mm-hmm. And breweries that make subpar beer...
Yeah.
They're going to be gone.
They'll be gone in the short term. I mean, those will be the first to go, and I think you're already starting to see some evidence of that. But
some cracks.
But I mean, like, the other big thing is the big craft breweries. Like, you drive down the highway, and, like, we love beer. Most people probably don't see. If you live in California, you probably don't notice that. If you're not big craft beer fans, you probably don't notice it. But driving up and down the highways in California... we were just struck by, like, names we'd never even heard before. I was going to try and name a name that I'd never heard before. I think it was, like, Life Cycle Breweries or something. I don't know. They just followed me on Instagram.
Golden Road.
That was it. And, you know.
Carl Strauss.
I think Golden Road was bought out by one of the big guys.
It has a few locations. It was in the airport.
But the weird is this sort of, you have this, I Googled this word before I used it in my blog. Bifurcation bifurcation.
Definition, please.
Bifurcation. So when two things separate to opposite ends, but you do see that in their beer scene, because these breweries like Carl Strauss, which I became aware of a couple of years ago, the first time I went down to California. You just named one.
Golden Road,
and then I mean, there's always Stone and Sierra Nevada and these big West Coast breweries, Lagunitas, that remain for the most part. Yeah. Well, no, Ballast Point.
No, they sold. Yeah.
Did they?
But there's still these big independent craft breweries putting out good beer. Yeah. And they're huge.
Yeah, they're massive. Well, or look at New Belgium in Colorado.
The size. Sam Adams.
Sam Adams. Wow. Are they still craft? Are they not? They
I'm
still
not getting into that conversation.
They still make decent beer.
We're not getting into that right now.
The only reason why they're still considered a craft brewery in the States is because they keep changing the definition. Yeah.
It's the Sam Adams rule.
It is. Yeah. And that brought a brewery.
It's kind of like the Mickey Mouse rule. For
Yingling became a craft brewery again only because of Sam Adams growing.
But, I mean, that it's interesting, right? Because, again, every time it frustrates me because I hear these arguments all the time when you're sitting in the brewery. I'm like, I don't buy it. And someone made the argument to me that of course the breweries are bigger. They don't have to deal with all the same tax laws that we do in Canada. And I'm just, I can see tax laws different, but I'm pretty sure we have lower corporate tax rates in Canada, or had until Trump's tax reforms came in.
Yeah.
For 20, 30 years prior. In any case, I will grant you, or I will concede, the tax plays a small part. But when you look at the size
of population,
craft breweries, it's population. Like, we're not even California. And, like, we talk about California being slightly larger than Canada.
The population.
Population. It's a lot
population. The province of BC, I think, is bigger than California, but California has more people than Canada.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's
a little bit different scale there.
There's room for growth, is all I'm saying. And I just don't think we're there yet. And it's cool seeing their scene because it's years ahead of ours. In some ways, we're right neck and neck, but in some ways, they're years and years ahead. Especially when you look at what's it called? Parallel 49, or Phillips is our two big BC breweries.
Yeah. Probably Central City's in there too.
Yeah, among the two or three biggest or top five or 10 biggest craft breweries in all of Canada too, I would guess.
Yeah.
But they can't hold a candle to these breweries in
Canada. Well, I mean, Parallel 49 is quite big for Canadian standards.
Yeah.
And it's half the size of Phillips. Mm-hmm. And Phillips is dwarfed by almost every large brewery in the States, almost every single one.
Mm-hmm. So, what the fuck?
But then, we said, population. There's just not a big population in BC, so.
How many people are really going to line up here for those craft beer releases? Like, we all would.
And
how many people are there like us, right?
But, I remember the opening of Trading Post, and, there was a line, but it was a modest line. And,
You're going to get in. You're not worried about the beer selling out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even Twin Sales, which is getting lines, you may have to wait half an hour, but you're still going to get the beer.
And the beer might be released at a liquor store later.
And by and large, I can walk it's really into good. Twin Sales.
Yeah, the differences and the similarities between the scenes, it's really awesome because when we went down there, we got to meet a couple people. We end up meeting with the same people a lot of the time and trading with them. But, we have, the same interests. So we're we enjoy sitting there, meeting people that we've seen before, know before, having a pint. And we were talking about the scene and the lines, right? And it's a huge scene in the California line. People bring chairs. I was watching some Instagram.
Illegally drinking lines.
They sit there and they just, and they're not just having a beer in line. Like, they are trading,
Smashed.
Yeah, they're trading whales, as they always call them. Like, they're white whale, right? Yeah. You're hard to get beers. And they're drinking some great beer on the sidewalk there.
Yeah.
And I said, the similarity is, if you go to Twin Sales, you see the same 20 or 30 people.
Yeah.
And it's cool because you say hi, or you go to a beer event or a beer tasting somewhere, or some Pesh Day or Zwanzi Day. You see the same sort of people. It's the same idea, but the scales.
Yeah,
it's
huge.
Yeah, when you do it at Twin Sales, you do it for a bit of fun, right? Like, you're gonna stand in line, you're gonna see some people, you're gonna be the first one in, you're gonna have a beer, you're gonna be the first one out, you got the rest of your weekend, and that's why you're doing it. And that's a great reason to do it. But when you do it in California, it's because you need to get that beer. Period. Otherwise, you're not getting it. You're not getting it on tap. You're not finding it at the bottle shop. You're not gonna find it the next day. You're not gonna find it by that afternoon. That's
kind of means you get to trade for other beers.
I think I need a refill.
Oh, do you?
My glass was empty.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You can't have that. Yeah, no, it is definitely a totally different scene, but it's a lot of fun. Like, we went to Week of Logic this time.
Nice.
And it was huge. Just one brewery put on, the size of, the Coquitlam Craft Beer Festival.
Yeah.
Just one brewery with They had different stations.
Is that Bottle Lodge?
It's Bottle Lodge, yeah. And there were so many people there that, like, you know, I follow on Instagram or that follow me on Instagram. So it was just, like, a lot of fun meeting new people.
And I mean, like, again, to talk about that bifurcation. In any case, we went there
too. Edit that out.
No.
Oh, God.
We went there 2 or 3 times, and the cool part was, I'd say Bottle Logic seems to be one of those breweries that is expanding to be one of become one of those regional breweries in California, at least in California. Because the first time we went there, I didn't realize we thought they just had a small tasting room space. And when that was about a year ago, I think we went. This time, we happened to be there for their big festival, and I didn't realize that the 3 or 4 warehouses next to them were also their warehouses where they do stuff. So that's how they had all the space to basically run a beer festival in their parking lot that you could just walk into without tickets. The crazy thing was, we were driving around the day we were just looking to pick up beer, looking for a place to park, and there were 4 more breweries in that freaking business
park. In the parking lot, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. And I was like, do we just go in and grab a beer so we can park and go to the other brewery? Like,
yes, the answer is yes.
It's always yes.
But it was just shocking. Right? Like, yeah, on the one hand, craft beer is so loved and so beloved that you have these breweries creating incredible beers at incredible scale, but you still have these tiny breweries down the street. Like, it's, their scene is just so much more dynamic and developed. And I mean, even a place like Monkish, which is like we were just talking about, you want to sell most of your beer out of your spot. Like, I'd say they're comparable in size. I don't know.
It could be about twin sales.
Yeah, I could be totally off here. But when you step into their brewery and you see their space, and I could be wrong, they could have a huge selling space somewhere.
Yeah, it could be like Phillips, where it looks way smaller than it is.
Yeah. And I'm sure, maybe someone will tell me I'm an idiot on the internet, which is fair. Yeah. I deserve that. but I would say they're about the same size as twin sales.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And, I've never had a Monkish beer until today. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
very good.
Yeah.
Like
they have a Foggier series, right? Like, this is one of the many Foggier beers. This is a good one.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah. I mean, basically anything from Monkish.
I like the way it tastes mostly.
Oh, yeah. Have you said that in every episode ever?
I think so.
I think so, probably, yes.
You missed last one.
I'll never. Oh, yeah. It's like sometimes when I want the students to listen to the video I'm playing them, I tell them that they have to count all the time somebody uses a verb.
You're mean.
That's so boring.
Yeah, well, it's their fault for not being
bored listening
thinkers.
To you say that.
Some kids are like, can't believe, like, they get pick up or whatever. They're like, yeah, whatever. A lot of the kids are just like, scratching down. Anyways.
The other one Gold we brought Star. Is Green Cheek.
Yes.
That's another really good brewery. I think it was the people who were brewing for Noble. Is that right? They were brewing for Noble, I think, and then they moved over and started their own thing at Green Cheek.
Yeah, they were employees at one of the other well-known breweries down there, and then they started their own thing. But these guys, I think they're less than a year old.
Yeah, it's a really new brewery, but anything I've had from them has been amazing. They do really interesting things.
Nice.
This is another, it's a hazy IPA called More Space, but when we were there, we had a few really good beers that were, they had some sours, and they had the Walter White IPA.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. So,
oh, wait, this one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, and the cool thing about these guys, and I mean, we just basically happened upon them. I heard they opened when we went about a year ago, and I thought, realized they were nearby where we were in Anaheim, and we were like, okay, let's go check them out, basically. And I think the quality of beer they're putting out is the very least comparable to the really well-known places like Monkish and Bottle Logic.
Oh, it's really good.
But the hype, they don't have the hype train fully behind them like other places do. So,
I think everybody on Instagram, because I always ask people to suggest places for me to go when I go there, and everybody that has like a decent craft beer page says go to Green Cheek.
Nice.
So I knew right away that it would be something special.
Forgot that. Yeah, and like the nice thing is, the monkish lines are stupid. If you're trying to get beer, a lot of lines are stupid. These guys, at least when we went a year ago, they happened to do a release when we were there, and we were able to, you know, saunter in that evening at about 3 or 4 o'clock and grab a 4-pack. So,
that one was so good. It was lemon.
I gotta admit, that's a pretty big draw for me.
Yeah,
I'm not a line stander by nature.
No. And here's the thing. I mean, so much. Banny loves Disneyland.
Wait,
and maybe I love it too. I don't know.
I love Disneyland.
I don't know if I like Disneyland anymore, but I love Disney World. So hey,
yeah.
Oh my God, Disneyland is better.
It's smaller. It. Come on now.
And backing away slowly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You want to fight, Mike? We
can fight. This isn't a fair fight. I can't hit you. Yeah. All right.
Do we
need to get into? No, never mind.
But I mean, bring it back to craft beer.
Put my arms behind my back.
I think, you know, lots of people find themselves in California and Anaheim to go to Disneyland with their family. And this Anaheim, that's awesome because you are so close to so many intensely good craft breweries within we've paid $12 or $15 for an Uber to Bottle Logic, and that's the
furthest one. And that's the furthest one, yeah.
Nice. So you could get to Green Cheek, you can get to Bottle Logic, you can get to Noble.
The brewery.
The brewery Tarot. And what's the other one? Oh, and they do offshoot out of the brewery. All these incredible places for, you know, $15.
That's amazing.
Some of the bottle shops, too. Like, it's incredible what you can get at the bottle shops there. We hadn't really explored that before. And then we asked Instagram where to go, and they said, go to Mr. K's bottle shop. So we go there, and I've never seen Carnell so happy in his life.
Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think?
This one, I haven't even tasted it yet. The aroma is not as intense as the Monkish. No.
Honestly, I think I like it better
it's
than
still,
the Monkish.
It's still all really juice good. To the nose, but...
Like, it's actually got that sort of citrusy, juicy feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. It's still 7.5% alcohol. It says.
Oh, geez, really?
It tastes a lot lighter. This one tastes like 5%.
Yeah, it's a little less in your face than the Monkish.
It's funny. I think if you'd asked me when we were there, when we had them fresh, this would have been my favorite beer I had the whole trip. I don't know. It's funny. Now that I taste it, it might have been just that pour I gave myself. I get a little bit of that sort of hop harshness on the end, but it might have just been some particulate that happened to be in that sip.
It's like a little astringent a bit or something. But I think it's just because there's so much freaking hop particulate.
Weird. I'm actually finding it less astringent.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Than the Monkish?
Than the Monkish.
I find it more. So yeah, still amazing. Like, it's still great.
Absolutely. But...
I know what you mean, though. It does taste... I kind of like this one better than the Monkish one, too.
Yeah, this feels a little smoother, a little more mature than the Monkish.
Yeah.
That's why I like
Both are great, don't get me wrong.
Who likes maturity, right?
No, I'm with Mike. I prefer the Monkish right now, but I remember thinking this was the best beer I had on the trip. It was the Green Cheek, They wrote down more. I thought it was more spacier. I don't know.
Yeah, according to Untappd. Yeah, but here it's
more
spacier. Space.
Yeah, it is more spacier.
In my head, that's like, you know, when you're spaced out, like that person's more spacier.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of stoners talking at lunch. But yeah,
and I love the fact that it's in a crowler. I love crowlers. Yes.
Well, that's
do a few of them in crowlers.
Crowlers need more love.
They do.
They probably should be the only vessel in the brewery nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sick and tired of collecting growlers, unless it's, you know, the U-kegs and stuff where they're pressurized or stainless steel because you can travel with them so much easier than glass. Crowler is the best. You walk in, you get a 1-liter fill, you go. Yeah. And it's recyclable, so who cares?
You know how many Monkish growlers we have now? Because we don't bring them down there. We have to bring a growler home every time.
That's why when I do fly and I'm going to get beer, I bring one of my stainless growlers with me because it won't break. I have a big dent in one of mine now, but it won't break.
That's true. Yeah, that's the thing I'm worried about is that it's going to break. So why bring it down? Like, maybe I can make it into a candle stick or something.
You know, I worry about the growler breaking, and it's a little different. Like, this Monkish one is one of these skinnier pot stopper. They're a lot stronger
looks
usually.
Like a wine bottle.
But the bigger 2-liter growlers, 64-ounce growlers, are usually just so prone to breaking anyways.
Totally. But the 2 liter size, I think, I mean, as we trend more to, you know, the big, these hazy IPAs, I don't think big's actually a good word to describe them as IPAs because they're not, anyways.
Yeah.
But we don't need 2 liters of it.
No.
And like a liter is a nice size, especially if you want to share it with a friend. That's about a pint each, and pint each of 8% beer, you know, on a week night. That's oh, yeah. That's the sweet spot, right? Like,
oh, that's probably, where we screwed up here.
Yeah,
oh,
probably high end of sweet spot. Anyways, but yeah, I mean that size is kind of useless, and a 2 liter size, it's a lot of glass to lug around. Yeah. The crowlers, yeah, so nice, and I don't know, cans are just. You're always going to be losing something from that seal, the pop.
Or light struck.
Yeah.
The one thing I do like for 2 liters is my Growlerworks UK, because I'll just go get an Imperial beer in it,
yeah.
Put it in the fridge, and pour it over a couple days.
I do love that.
Yes. I mean, I only ever fill it really with something 8 to 10 plus, mm-hmm. because I can sit it in the fridge and know that I can go have a 12-ounce glass of it one day, come back mm-hmm. 2 days later and have a 20-ounce pour. Because I don't have to worry about it, because it's going to be carbonated for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the nice things about the UK, because I appreciate that I can get a growler and not have to drink that beer for 3 or 4 days straight.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, you're welcome.
what was I going to say? Your UK, I've seen you with it. I've never actually got to use one. Does it use any CO2?
Yeah, like, just the
fill? Is that the word I want to use?
It's just got the little canisters, food safe ones you use for whipped cream canisters.
Yeah, so that's key. Mm. So you just run off a little bit of CO2 just to make sure it's
it's CO2 bed. So basically, it's got you got to use the unthreaded ones. Mm-hmm. The threaded ones tend to get stuck, and it just punctures through.
Yeah.
And then it's got its own valve built into the cap, so you can. Change the pressurization as you go. Yeah, it might go in there.
That's
this looks like a whipped cream.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You buy them for whipped cream canisters. Mm. And you can buy nitro ones, too, if you want to nitro it.
Then. Oh, wow.
So you put the CO2 canister in. You can do varying sizes. Change your pressurization level, either mm-hmm. Because you want a higher pressure on that beer, or if you've drunk half of it, you need a little more pressure.
Yeah.
And then it's got an actual tap, so you can actually pour, or instead of having to unseal it. I'm trying to remember, it's double walled and vacuum sealed as well.
Oh wow!
It is, yes. Well,
so you get a pretty good temperature retention too. super easy to clean. Been really happy with it so far.
You can homebrew with it.
You can. We force pressurized our, which one was it? The IPA?
No, it was the second beer we made. Was it Nut Brown?
Yeah, the Nut Brown. Yeah.
That's what we should have, Banny and I should have brought you our homebrew hazy IPA and asked you which was best.
It was very, very bad.
I'm hurt.
It's it tastes exactly like this.
Yeah.
It's... But way worse.
Can I get a little more of that green cheek there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No,
the real
one,
not yours.
We used a ridiculous amount of lupulin powder. So it was like, basically it tastes like eating a hop.
That sounds good to me.
No.
It's not good. It's really, really bad. Or eating
before.
A lupulin pellet, because I definitely did that.
Yeah.
Tried it. It's kind of what a beer tastes
because
like.
Of course
it was pretty
did.
Funny. We brewed it. We used a lot of hops, and we were doing the dry hopping about, I don't know, couple days before, what's it called? We wanted to keg, and yeah, I'm putting it in, and Banny's got the hop bag, and she was smelling them. I'm like, yeah, they smell good, right? And I turned to pour the hop addition in, and I turned back, and Banny's mouth is just like curling at the edges because she's eaten one.
I wanted to know what it tastes. It smells
good.
No, but totally, everybody's done that.
Oh, yeah, hops smell so. When you have a handful of Galaxy hops in your home, you're smelling them.
Well, it was like the lupulin too. Like they were like the little pellets, and I was like. It's oh like God, kids, that probably tastes so good. It probably just tastes like juice.
It is the adult equivalent of a 6-year-old eating lip chap, or like, you know, like chocolate flavored lip paste or whatever, because it smells so good.
It does smell really good.
Yeah, but yeah, and the only thing that I don't like about the California scene relative to the Vancouver scene, like this is more of like just the way the cities are built though. It's hard. To go out and taste beers, like we don't realize how easy we have it. Like you want to go out and have some, you know, fresh brewery beers in Vancouver, it's really damn easy.
Unless you're outside of Metro Vancouver.
Yeah.
As soon as you're in the Fraser Valley, you're hooped.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you still have your locals, right?
Like, yeah.
If you want to go to the
Fraser Valley. But I mean, you'd have your locals elsewhere too, right?
But I mean, in California, you got to hop in your car. Like, that's it.
Or an Uber.
Or an Uber, but it's not like, it is still, I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, we can hop into an Uber. Where we were staying in California, which was in Anaheim, on their main strip in Anaheim, near the resorts. It was $15 for two people one way, which is fine if you're on a trip, but if, you know, you're a local, it's $15 is a bit of money there and back. That's $30 if you're just going to have a few beers. Whereas for us, we can just hop on the SkyTrain or hop on transit. It might be a little longer.
Yeah.
For us, but yeah, to get to East Van is not that tough. To get to Brewers Row is not that tough. In fact, I was shocked. I went to the Parallel 49 Brews Brother party.
Yep.
And I was like, crap. East Van is a little bit hard to get to because it's pretty far from the SkyTrain. Anyways, it was much easier than I expected. I was really impressed by how the bus system got me there. And that's just not...
We haven't tried Anaheim Transit, though, and I'm pretty sure it's easy.
Yeah, but I mean, the breweries aren't close together. They're not in...
Yeah, that's true.
They're not in central parts of, like, a city where, you know, in East Van, you can walk pretty easily to get some food.
Yeah.
Quick, in Port Moody.
Quick plug for food. If you're at Parallel 49, Scandalicious Waffles just down the street. Delicious.
It sounds so amazing. Good. Wait, do they sell waffles?
They sell waffles and Swedish meatballs, and I love them.
Oh, man. I can get behind that. But yeah, I mean, I will say we have them completely beat in that portion of the scene where, our breweries end up being more in communities where people actually live and work rather than just work. Theirs are very much in industrial areas.
Very.
Which are probably much larger than our industrial areas.
Exactly. Yes. I said a second ago that they're not close together. That's not necessarily true. There are a lot, usually clusters of breweries.
Yeah.
But you got to get to that cluster, then you got to get home. And if you want food... they usually have food trucks, but outside of that, there's not much choice. And
their food trucks are amazing.
They are.
So good.
Especially if you like tacos.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them are tacos.
By Mexico.
I mean, you go down to Belly, you're going to get amazing tacos compared to here. But yeah, I mean, that's what our scene really has going for it. It's just the ease of access for everybody. Yeah. And I think that's probably why you end up seeing like everybody and their dog and their, you know, infant child at our breweries. And not true. not just middle-aged men like in California.
No doubt.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we already said it, but which one was your favorite of these two? Both really good California beers.
I'm going to do a side-by-side.
I'm going with the Green Cheek. That was killer. I like that.
That's a good beer. And you?
I'm going Monkish all the way on this one.
Monkish all the way? Okay, so...
But it's... They're both really, really good beers.
That's the problem.
It's a true shame that our listeners can't see Carnell comparing the visuals on the beer
right now.
Comparing
the haze.
You can see it on my live video, though.
Here we go.
Comparing the haze. Which one's Monkish? Do you think it's that cloudy one? So for me, Monkish is my favorite brewery of all time. I've never had anything from them that I wasn't like, oh my god, why does not all beer taste like this? But the Green Cheek right now, for whatever reason, I'm really liking it. I'm liking it better than that Foggier Window. And I've had Foggier Window in cans, too.
No, I usually give people shit for this sort of thing, but I wouldn't pick. Like I
As he samples both.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite there?
Let's see if this explodes.
Oh, heresy. Heresy.
Well, Green Cheek and Monkish, if you're listening, your beer tastes
great
together.
I'm just blending them. This is a common practice.
It is, actually. And that
they got worse.
Really good.
That was the weird thing. They got worse. I'm not even kidding.
So you should never collaborate if you're listening.
Or collaborate, but just don't blend.
I don't even know what to say. That's extremely strange.
Okay, now I got to try this. Give me that.
Yeah. I think you'll be like, wow, how could that possibly happen?
I think he's going to be like, this is my favorite now. I like both of them together.
Actually, that's pretty good. And I think that is possibly equivalent to the Monkish, not quite as good as the Green Cheek.
Yeah. No, that's tough. I don't know. They're different beers for sure. And like that's the other thing I think people sometimes give hazy beer crap because it's all the same thing, and it's not. I mean, no. Just in the same way, you clearly get different beers by changing malt slightly. You change the hops, you get totally different beers. And they're different beers for sure, but yeah, I'm having trouble picking one. I might go, but if you put a gun to my head, I might say the Monkish, but...
Gun on either side.
I have a sword in the trunk of my car. We can do
I'm
that.
I'm expecting it to be a can of beer.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good, too. That was a great beer, Twin Sills.
But yeah, and it's a cool scene, and a scene that I think Vancouver brewers should all sort of, what's the word?
Emulate?
Do?
Yeah, they should just be.
You should just... You do the just thing. Have beer that do looks like
do
this.
It that good. No, aspire, aspire,
aspire. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah. It would be a cool scene to aspire to because, like I say, the crappy beer doesn't last on there.
No, it doesn't.
It just
it really doesn't.
No, it doesn't happen.
You don't go into a brewery and have a beer you don't like.
Well, I mean, I think you do, but they don't stick around long.
No, exactly. You don't go back the next time because they're not there anymore.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways, cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Glad
cheers.
We could share that with you and let us ramble on.
We appreciate it.
Rambling's the best.
If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. We'd love if you would help support us if you think our content gives you some value. You can pitch in as little as a dollar, and we'll mention you on the website. $5 gets you a mention live on the show. And it'll also get you some bonus content we're creating every month. There's also some different levels where you can get stickers, shirts, hats, and that kind of thing. So if you like our show and you want to help us out and help us make better content and upgrade our equipment, check out patreon.com/pacificbeerchat.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Find our show on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, YouTube, or your favorite podcast site or app at Pacific Beer Chat. Please leave us a review as it helps spread the word about the show and helps new listeners find our episodes. You can find Pacific Beer Chat on social media at Pacific Beer Chat on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Send us an email at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com with any feedback or comments. We'd love to hear from you. You can also find us at pacificbeerchat.com. We are part of the Hopped Up Network, an international craft beer podcast network. If you enjoy this craft beer-focused show, or any other craft beer-focused shows, check out hoppedupnetwork.com. And thanks to Tim of craftbeertourist.com for designing our brand new logo. Thanks to Kevin Ems of Conundrum for allowing us to use the song Lothian in the intro to the podcast. You can find Conundrum on Instagram and Facebook at Music of Conundrum. You can also find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. To play us out, here is the full version of Lothian. Cheers. And all those chances.
that path. All of my marches through the dark. I found out so much then. So much more than I can't know. I wanted you so badly by my